welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being recorded for Sunday, June 4th, 2017, and how grateful I am you chose, to get into this thing. I opened up a big can of worms yesterday in our radio program on Karma, Fate, and Freedom here. And I got about 10 emails right off the bat, and I'm really, really grateful for that. And I want to remind you that this radio program, whether you like what I say at times or not, is here because of our sponsors. I won't give you their names or addresses so you won't write them and scold them, but here we are. They are generous, kind, and allow me to serve you in the most unique way. And I'm grateful that they are there. They make this happen by paying for airtime. And if you want to help and serve humankind in this most unique way, I would be honored to have you do so. It would truly be an honor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. If you click on support, a submenu will come down, and you can see why support Aspire. It will tell you everything you needed to know about where your donations go, how they're used. And you will also be able to, from there, become a sponsor. There's lots of wonderful goodies for you for being a sponsor, for helping us stay on the air and maintain our program. So if you're interested, again, please go to the website at aspire.org and go take a look at support. And I want to thank my sponsors with all my heart for their kindness and their courage. Well, yesterday we talked about the whole idea of karma, that there is no free will. And boy, nothing gets Americans more upset than to think that they might have to question whether or not they're free. And I don't know how in the hell any of us would ever think we are free with the taxes we pay and the restrictions that are on us constantly. And more importantly, the way we treat this this whole idea of freedom in this country is abominable. So I'm going to read something to you from the great Greek philosopher Epictetus. Now, I don't know if I said that right, but it's E-P-I-C-T-E-T-U-S. Epictetus. Well, something like, who cares? What's in a name? So he wrote the most beautiful thing I've ever read in my life about freedom. And I could not improve upon it, and just reading it sends chills up my back. So here's where I come from. Before I answer these three questions that were put to me, I'm giving you this beautiful teaching. Freedom isn't the right or ability to do whatever you please. Did you hear that? Freedom isn't the right or ability to do whatever you please. Boy, that's a smack in the face to Americans. Freedom comes from understanding the limits of our own power and the natural limits set in place by divine providence. By accepting life's limits and inevitabilities and working with them rather than fighting with them, we become free. Oh my God. If, on the other hand, we succumb to our passing desires for things that aren't in our control, freedom is lost. Now, I've written commentaries about this from this great teacher, and he was a great teacher. And if you can hear what he's saying, you're going to find tremendous insight in your own life. There's a freedom to all of this. By accepting life's limits and inevitabilities and working with them rather than fighting with them, we become free. Yes. Yes, freedom comes from understanding the limits of our own power and the natural limits set into place by divine providence. What he's saying there is so powerful. So with that read and that said, I'm now going to answer the questions. From Jason in Toledo, Ohio. I listened to your radio program yesterday. How is it that we don't have free will? I can do whatever I want if it's within the law. How can you say I don't have free will? Jason, I do not know you, okay? And I don't know Toledo, Ohio, so I don't know how things go there, but here is what I do know. Whatever I do becomes the path of my life. I can't deviate from that path because I make karma in anything I do. The simplest choices that I make, the simplest things that I do, become the path of my karma. They become something I have set into motion. And these actions have inevitabilities, as Epictetus says. I am living and working in a limit that I've put to myself. Let me give you an example. Okay, so everybody has some idea of their own self-image, who and what they are. Everybody. You have this image, you have that image of yourself. Who decides that image? Who decides what power you have, what power you don't have, what you're good at, what you're not good at? Who decides that? Well, you can say it's natural. I'm not a runner. I'm a jogger, or I'm not a mountain climber. I'm a diver. You can do this in any way you want. You can decide what you are, who you are, the way you are. It's your choice. And whatever is that choice becomes your life, how you live your life, what you do with your life. And that sets into motion my karma. And when my karma is set into motion like that, let's say I fight for what I want, I try to get what I want, I think that the only thing worth doing is worth getting what I want, and I make it my point to be that way, and whatever has to go down goes down in order for me to achieve what I want, I become victorious, yada, 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 that kind of thing. Well, I've set into motion karma, Jason, whether I know it or not. Yes, I had the free will to choose to do something that I thought I wanted. Now, was it really free will? It was the only thing I could think about. It was the only thing I could come up with. It's the only thing that made sense. You know, to, let's say, a boxer, it doesn't make sense to be a waiter. To be a politician, it doesn't make sense to be an honest person. That's a joke. It's not really. To be an athlete doesn't make sense to the athlete to sit there and give up their athleticism for maybe the sake of being a gardener. Everybody has what they think makes sense to them. And we live by that, in accordance with that, and set into motion our karma via this manner. And this just goes on and on and on in my life. I choose this, I don't choose that. I choose that, I don't choose this. And as this goes on and on and on in my life, and I start to live it, I think I'm making free will choices, but I'm not, because these are the only things I can think about. These are the only thoughts I have about any given subject, because my mind lives in the Gregory Penn dome of doom. He thinks in a certain way. His actions are about certain things. He has emotions that predicate his thinking. He lives in fear. He might live in anger. He might live in anticipation and hope. And there's all sorts of things that he lives in. And he goes on and on and on with this kind of stuff. Tunasim, And that becomes his totality. If you really think about it, the only choice we make in our life are the ones that we see before us. What about those choices that are beyond the province of my thinking? The way I think, how I think. Do you really, really think, Jason, that the only potential things in this world, in this lifetime, are based in the idea of what you and Greg and everyone else can think? What if there was a more beautiful plan? What if there was more beautiful opportunities? And we just don't see them because we're busy being incarcerated and ensconced in the only thoughts that we can have that are, of course, emotional based. What if there was more? So I have the, you think I have the freedom to choose door A, door B, door C? Well, why only C? How about D, E, F? And so I have to choose a door. So I choose the one that is least likely to bring me pain and sorrow. And that's as far as I go. Oh my God. That's as far as I go. Is that freedom? Do I really have free will? Well, I have free will to choose any door that is before me, but I will always choose the door that is before me that is in accord with whether or not I achieve consciousness. Now, here is the rub, Jason. I am only free. I'm as free as I have consciousness. If I do not have consciousness, if I have not achieved consciousness, then I am never going to be free. I can only think with logic, reasoning, and emotionality. Those are not great opportunities for any of us. They limit our opportunities. So I can only choose maybe from door A or B. And typically, it's only door A, and I'd like to believe there's a door B, but I make it up in my mind. It isn't true. I have to look deeper. I have to look at a more profound life, a life worth living. Ooh, that sounds like a series. Anyway, until I achieve consciousness, I have not achieved total freedom. I have not achieved any freedom. Consciousness is what occurs in the gap, in the pause between our thoughts, and that's where it all is. I got to move on, Jason. I could go on with this forever, so please forgive me and my drooling. I hope that helped you understand a little bit of where I come from. I don't expect it to change your attitude. I really don't. And again, forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from John. He does not tell me where he lives. If I do not have free will, then does God have a game plan for any of us and all of us that we can know about? John, for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, God is not a man who sits in the clouds somewhere with a great big book or a computer now, and I wonder if it's Apple or PC. Lately, who knows the difference? And look people up and store in this computer or book all of the things that we've done right or wrong and then decide our fate. I find that very difficult to accept, and of course I don't, because it isn't my experience for that. I just don't have that kind of experience. Free will would entail the idea of knowing all of your options, all of the things that you can and cannot do, all of them, not some of them, all of them. And if you have some kind of sense of consciousness, you will realize that you are being led from one thing to another via the body. And when you no longer are making decisions based on personal survival and the comfort of the body, you have come to a place where something of great importance can happen. great value. You start to see the bigger picture, and only in the bigger picture can you understand why we are here, why you are here, and what's really going on by being here. That's the only way you can know. Consciousness liberates. Consciousness allows me not to make decisions based on the personality and comfort and the persnicketiness of my emotionality or my body or all of the beliefs that I might have about what is good and bad, right and wrong. No more duality. No more thinking out of duality, but rather no longer thinking at all. The mind starts to change, and my relationship to that mind changes, and I start to see things in the light of the heart, which is the only thing that reveals the ultimate truth of our given situations. I don't have free will until I have a sense of consciousness. Now, here is the interesting part of that. You can float into consciousness, and I hate to say it, lose it and float out of it and gain it and lose it and gain it and lose it. This happens. If you can make a decision, or if you can see and remember what it was like when you were in consciousness, let's say you're meditating and you're working upon something where you have to make a decision to do something or be somewhere, and you really take that in inside of you and you start to mulch it in consciousness. Your mind stops, your thinking stops, your desiring stops, your wanting stops. And all of a sudden, there it is. If you can remember that, if you can write it down, if you can remember it, and start living around that as you once lived around emotionality, you will have achieved a great deal in your life. You will have achieved great insight. And then you start to change things, really change things. Change things within yourself. I'm not talking about your outer life. I'm talking about your inner life, where the real change needs to exist. If you do that, you have accomplished something fantastic. You have accomplished something great. You have come to a moment where life is living you as love. Now, freedom, you see, isn't the ability to do whatever you please. You begin to understand the limits of our own powers and the natural limits set in place by divine providence, as Epitus says. There are limits, whether you like to think about it or not. Everybody has their limit. And there are limits that are set by the principles of this world in this lifetime. You may call it God. If you want to call it that, you call it that. But there isn't some guy in the sky keeping track of you, deciding what you deserve and what you do not deserve. That does not exist. We live by a more, shall we say, principled mathematics that absolutely works in sync with our heart, or wherever we are within ourselves. And if I'm in my doubt and confusion state, if I'm in my human mind, if I'm working out of my human fears or my intellect, where I want to get things, succumb to our passing desires for things that aren't in our control, then again, my freedom is lost. There are certain things that are not in my control. How you take this radio program, how you listen to it, it isn't in my control. How you understand it, it isn't in my control. Whether you like it or not doesn't really matter. What matters is that you are confronting your own idea about what is freedom and what is important in your life. If you work on it, if you really work on it rather than fighting it, as Epitus says, you will start to understand you came here for reasons that are beyond the purposes of our emotionality. beyond the purposes of our body just to stay alive. You are here for some very beautiful reasons. And they have nothing to do with getting what you want or being comfortable or having everything your heart desires, your human heart. That you are here to work things out. That is my karma, your karma. And I don't have free will to do whatever I want, because to do whatever I want means I wouldn't do anything. I would just go around living my life, trying to get as much as I can get before anyone else gets it. And if somebody else gets it, then I get angry and hostile, or I get down on myself and feel like I'm a this-a or a that-a. You can go into 100 different things. None of them would be healthy for you. None of them. So there you are. John, I hope that helps you. I really do, and I hope I haven't confused you. And please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Fred. He says he lives in Northern California with us. Why live if we are not free, Greg? It just takes all the air out of the balloon, Fred. Fred, each of us came here for a specific reason. That I hate to use that word. I really do, because it's not a good word, and I didn't phrase that very well, but it is true. You are here via your karma. You are here in this world to see what that karma is and to work upon it, not fight it, but work upon it, to agree with it. To agree with it to such a degree that you are willing to see the broader picture of your life and not fight it with hate and fear. Not try to make it something it is not. And that may mean that this is a lifetime of living, I hate to say this, for one humiliation after another within yourself. But each thing you work on, each thing you're willing to do, awakens your heart a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And as it does, insight begins to grow. Consciousness begins to happen. And you see the futility of living for those things that you can't take with you through death. That is the big one. So when you are aware of those elements of life that you can take with you through death, forgiveness, mercy, love, consciousness begins to be the only thing that is important to you. And in that consciousness comes love. And that is all that this is about, pure love. Doesn't matter whether it is realized in the beginning of your life or at the very end. It doesn't matter. As long as you realize it has always been and always will be about love. Don't be worried about your freedom. You and I are incarcerated by the prison of our own karma until we realize our karma is working for us. It's trying to help us, not punish us, not reward us, but to help us, bridge us to the heart, to the way of love. That's what it's all about. And should you start to really realize this and get into it more and more, you will find decisions are already made for you, conditions are already set before you, and they are all right there to serve your loving heart. And once you realize your loving heart, and that is enough for you in your life, that is when everything starts to accelerate and everything begins to become kind of a path to one place. All roads lead to love. And that's what it's all about. Thank you for your beautiful question, Fred. I deeply appreciate it. Have a beautiful day, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there we are. We had a wonderful, wonderful week here on Aspire with Karma. And I hope that you learned something. If you ever have a comment, a question, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org and go take a look at media. And there you will see Satsang with Siraj, that be me. And you can listen to future, past, and whatever radio programs you want to hear, as well as the TV programs. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me. Namaste.